When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Let's head out there now, catch up with our TSN hockey analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Mike Johnson. Where are you leaning here, Johnny? Do you think this is the night where the cup comes out and Colorado comes out flying, or can Tampa get back up off the mound?
It's hard to ever suggest Tampa can't do anything. They have earned the respect and the consideration that, you know what, they will play well, they will make it difficult. But yeah, I heard you guys talk. This series, watching it in person, it doesn't feel that close. The scores have been close, no question, and two overtime games could absolutely go either way, but just the run of the play has generally been pretty one-way traffic in favor of Colorado. So I think as long as Darcy Kuemper or Noodles will go back to it, he gives them 900, yeah, they win tonight. Flat out, they're going to be buzzing. The rink will be alive. I think the team is mature enough to kind of deal with the distraction of trying to win a cup and focus on the game and not necessarily the accomplishment or the celebration. And Colorado is they're just the better team, and I would expect them, I would think that they win tonight.
And it's not like Tampa can say, oh, let's just get some rest. Maybe we'll go back and get them next year. It's like they're in the finals. It's like you've come all this way. It's not like it's the second round or first round. It's like you've come all this way. You wonder what they have in the tank, Johnny. It seems like every shift, the guy's going down the tunnel, back to the tunnel, can't play, not sure. Like they're on fumes.
Yeah, they are, and under, you know, they've third time in a row in a couple of shortened seasons and strange situations, and they look to be more beat up, more tired, slower, more worn down, all those things, because I think they are. And I saw Braden Point on the ice this morning. He actually looked better than he had previously, so I wonder if he doesn't try to play. Cirelli's got the cut in his arm. He can barely put his jersey on his own. Chernak's got bruises all over his body. They are just, you know, they're a team that needed probably everyone to be at their full capacity to try to play and win this series, and they're not quite there. They're going to battle. You know that. They have the great goaltender. You know that. But they just, yeah, they are tired. They are on fumes, and they need more than that to beat Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of this being like a character test, like if they can find a way to even, I think a winning tonight will just build on their legacy in a way.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you, considering everything that was just laid out, the injuries, you're in their building, the cup's there, Colorado's ready to go, Burakovsky might be back. If Tampa finds a way to win tonight, like it's just an add, it might be, it's not a full chapter being written about, you know, their greatness and the dynasty, but it's a couple more pages, isn't it? Like if they can find a way to win tonight.
Yeah, to keep your book analogy, it's the epilogue on a great run. Like even if they don't win the series, right? Or like it's like, this team, all these things stacked against them, going up against a team, and we get it, like, historically, Colorado's kept brushing up on some pretty legit, great team territory for this run alone. If they can somehow muster a way to keep this series alive, would say so much about how good they are, but also the will to compete, to fight for each other, and I think that, you can't underestimate that. And they are tired for all that stuff, but they will push. They will battle. They won't just kind of roll over, I don't think, at all tonight. This will be a tougher game for Colorado to win than the last one here.
Johnny, you talked about Colorado, you know, the nerves and them potentially being, you know, mature enough to handle all that. We were talking earlier in the 4 o'clock hour just about, I can't imagine the distractions that they are going through right now. And it's not even, you know, hey, you don't sleep that well in the afternoon because you're thinking, okay, I can win my first Stanley Cup tonight. But it's the parents and the brothers and the aunts and uncles that are in town. Like, you can win it on home ice. Like, do you think all of that has to, at least there's a layer of that factoring in where guys just have to find a way to get to the rink, find a way to get to puck drop without all the distractions?
Absolutely. Because, you know, everybody that you care about will be here tonight, whether it's your parents, your siblings, your family, extended family, spouse, kids. But then you got the riffraff coming out. Hey, can I come down? I want to be part of this whole thing as well. The fact that it's a 6 p.m. local start is better than 8, right? Like 2 hours earlier, they don't got to be worrying about that kind of stuff. And we had Hose Boy Justin Williams with us the last couple of days with NHL Network. And he was saying that one of the big priorities coming up to this game was dealing with that stuff and having, like, people in the staff of the administrative office to take care of all these things. Your parents need flights. They need hotels. They need car pick. I was like, don't call me and have that all kind of predetermined. Someone else is dealing with all those things, because it would be annoying. It would be distracting. And it would, again, reinforce what's at the end potentially of the game when you got to solely focus on what is during the game so you can get to that part that might be there at the end of the game. And, I was never there. Oh, you were. I mean, I can't imagine the attention and the kind of noise that you would hear from all people around in your life if you get to the final to begin with, or get to a potential clinching game in the final.
Down 3-1, I stopped worrying about the flights for other people. Let's just say I put that on hold. I didn't forget about it. I put it on hold, Hazy B.
Right.
Put it on ice in case there's a game 6. And then maybe there's a bus.
Then I would
game
get re-engaged. Yeah, re-engage. Re-engage.
Absolutely, as you should. So Barry Trotz, I guess, has declined the option to take up the Winnipeg Jets head coaching gig. And according to Darren Dreger, he's going to just take a step back and figure out his future. Do the Jets have any beef here? Do they have any reason to feel like they got squeezed or what based on this? Because it seems like they've just put all their chips into the Barry Trotz corner. And now that he's out, maybe they got to start from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz can do whatever he wants and take however much time he wants to. But if you're the Winnipeg Jets, I don't know what the dialogue was like up to this point, but at some point, Barry Trotz would have been considering this, or else it would not have been taking this long. Like, if Barry Trotz was determined to take a year off and figure out what he wants to do and whether he wants to work, you think Winnipeg would have heard that earlier and not spend the last 3 weeks courting him while other good coaches were snatched up, jobs were filled, and options became limited. So I guess one is surprising for Barry Trotz. Not that it's all about money, but he probably had $30 million in front of him from the Winnipeg Jets. And he elected to forego that because he wants to try something or take a break. Tells you how much he wants that break. But for the Jets, you can't be mad. You can be disappointed. And as long as this was always part of the conversation, because if conversation one, Hayes, was, yeah, can't wait to coach, can't wait to get back in it, let's see if this is the right fit, and then 3 weeks later, nah, you know what, I don't really want to coach anymore, that would piss me off if I'm Winnipeg. But as long as this is always part of, I'm not quite sure where I want to go, and they're trying to convince them, then you probably can't be disappointed. But you are left with, unquestionably, whoever you hire will be your second choice at best, maybe lower than that. And that never feels good for the organization and probably for the new coach coming in.
Johnny, sticking with Winnipeg, can you explain to me what Pierre-Luc Dubois, his tactic, his motive, why would he come out and make it known that he is going to test unrestricted free agency? Like, does he want people in Winnipeg to hate his guts? Like, it's just, I just don't know. For a guy that got to Winnipeg, did nothing year one, was terrible, had a good year last year, and it looks like they're in love with the guy again. Explain to me the thought process of that PR move, or stunt, I'll call it.
Well, I mean, I think two things. Oh, if you really believe that, you're actually doing the club a favor by letting them know earlier than later.
What about behind the scenes, Mike? Why can't you do it behind the scenes?
You don't have to do it publicly, absolutely. I'm saying letting the club know. You don't have to let everyone know. But if you're going to get inundated with questions about, because his contract's up, right? So he could sign an extension. And
when?
Before, now. So he's an RFA.
Okay.
So he's a restricted free agent, right? So he has 2 more years of control. So if they're going to ask him, you're going to do an extension, maybe just like, I don't want to talk about extension. I'm telling you where I'm at right now. I'm going to play 2 more years and see where we're at. Just to make that conversation with the media go away. Now, that's a big price to pay, because you're right. The Winnipeg Jets fans are like, wait a second. Like, what is the problem with committing to our organization, to our city? That's how they'll take it. I have no problem whatsoever with any player playing themselves into Unrestricted free agency. Was Johnny Gaudreau a villain because he went to UFA? No, he played well.
I guess
played
you're
hard.
Right. I just saw the headlines, and I was like, what?
No, but here's the thing. This is what I don't understand about this, and maybe this is what we need to discuss. What if Gaudreau, or let's go to Pierre-Luc Dubois, because that's what we're talking about. You can sign an eight-year extension and find a number if you just want to get the number. You can always ask for a trade. It perplexes me. You can go as a UFA and drive the price up, but you could also have guaranteed money in your pocket and still go, I want to be traded. I've never, like, unless you believe you're just going to be in an absolute bidding war, and that's maybe what Dubois wants to do. It's just, and Goudreau's doing that. But, you know, the Calgary one perplexes me. Johnny Gaudreau has been with that organization for a long time. But if he decides to walk, then the Flames get essentially nothing. And, you know, it's not that there's loyalty that should be involved, but don't you think you should have a little bit and be like, hey, if I'm not going to sign with you, I'm going to sign with this team, trade me to that team, and you can get something back. Like, Dubois at least lets them know in advance that they might have to trade him to get a better asset back.
Well, Noodles, I'll just say this. Like, two things. Like, maybe you want to pick your destination. If you sign a seven-year extension, right, and you don't have trade protection, then they could trade you with that seven-year deal to a team you don't want to go to. Like, it seems like he really wants to pick his spot where he wants to go. And the only way he can have full control is to make that decision himself, not to sign the extension with Winnipeg and hope they trade him to a destination of his choosing. So, and I don't mind that. Like, take control of your career when you can. He can. He's good enough. And he's willing to roll those dice and forego $60 million guaranteed. That's his prerogative. I would be not courageous enough to do it, but he can. And as far as Gaudreau goes, like, sure, I guess you're saying would it be nice to be loyalty there? I guess he repaid the loyalty with 105 points. Why am I going to ask my new team that I'm going to for the next 7 years to give up an asset when they can have me for free in a week? Like, don't trade a good young player. Don't trade a third rounder for my negotiating rights. I'm coming to you anyways, Philly, Jersey, wherever he ends up going. So just keep everything you have. I'm coming eventually. So I'm not all about helping the team I'm leaving. I'm more worried about the team I'm going to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of things you can get into there. One, the sign-and-trade stuff really has never happened in the NHL the way it happens in the NBA a ton. Mm-hmm. I do think there is a benefit, though, to getting an eighth year if you're Gaudreau. So you're actually using the Flames.
That's what I was trying to get
exactly.
at.
Exactly, and it's not even about loyalty. And it's also, I think, the next team, if you're someone like Gaudreau, these teams are going to be drooling all over themselves. If he goes to Philly or Pitt and says, if I'm coming, I want 8 years, so you work out the trade. That's not my problem. Right, like if you're a businessman, you got to be a businessman all the time. So I would suggest that that's probably something he should look to do. As for like this Pierre-Luc Dubois situation and being 2 years out, I have to believe every agent in the game right now is saying, when you call up a GM right now, all they do is complain and moan about the cap and the flat cap and COVID. In 2 years, it's going to explode. So I'll bet you there's a lot of bad faith negotiation going on right now where teams are like, we got to pay you based on a flat cap. Sorry, man, can't do it. And if you're a player and you're going to be a UFA when it explodes in 2 years, why would you get paid based on the COVID era when the roaring 20s is right around the corner? Why would you do that?
That is such a good point. That is such a good point. Absolutely. I'm not paying on an $84 million cap and percentage of cap and only space. You're like, no. Because in 2 years, if it happens in 2 years and that debt gets paid down, and then the cap jumps to 91. You're like, whoa. Every team's going to have $14, $15, $20 million of space. That's an absolutely fair point, which is why anyone who's coming up in a couple of years, Austin Matthews, will do very well to be patient and get as much as they can.
Johnny Hayes fortune. Already thinks that Matthews is going to get $18 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Fully expect
he might.
Fully expect something crazy anyway. I don't know. Whatever. 50, it'll be the 50. Highest deal in the league. I fully expect that. And he'll be worthy of it because of when he comes up. Right? And then guess what? When McDavid's up 2 years after that, guess what he's going to get?
Yeah.
It'll be ridiculous, the price tag he's going to get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As they should. Right.
Yeah.
Johnny, do you think if Kadri hoists the cup tonight, he takes a pot shot like Larry Murphy?
You know what? I think the fans in Toronto really do like Nazem Kadri, don't you think? Oh, like the
no, they
the people,
love him. They love.
They
him.
Want him to win, and they're bitter that he's not playing for Toronto. And they're like, if he played for us, we'd win a series because he's the kind of guy who could help you get over the hump. There's been some kind of comments from Kadri, and I've read an article like his dad was quoted saying how, you know, hurt they were by the fact he got traded. So, you know, I think he will take the high road. I think the mature Nazem Kadri we know now will take the high road. But if he says, hey, it's great to be validated because previous organizations didn't think they could win with me, I've obviously shown I can with a 100-plus total point season, playoffs and regular season combined, I'll give him that because, you know what, he's not wrong. I mean, and he's in a great spot talking about new contracts. He won't be here in Colorado next year, but he's going to get paid a lot somewhere.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little shot at Dubas and Shanahan. And, you know, it would sting so much. And I wouldn't put it past him because he's got a chip on his shoulder. He was absolutely crushed.
He was devastated when he got dealt.
If the way that he took his shot at Shanahan and Dubas was by saying, man, I wish I could have done this for the people in Toronto, but hey, I wasn't given a chance to do it. Like, that would
That's
be...
good phrasing. Oh, that's good phrasing.
Man, would that be harsh. That would be harsh.
Because it was almost saying, you could have had this. You could have had... I could have been sharing this with my people in Toronto. Instead, I'm doing it in Denver.
Oh, and guess where his cup party is going to be? Right at, like, Young and Bloor. Or right outside the Scotiabank Arena.
He's going to Mel Aspin's or whatever. He's going to City Hall. He's having a parade to City Hall.
Absolutely. He'll be everywhere, man. Castle Loma, Queen's Park, up the tower. This guy's going to have that cup everywhere.
He's going to pay to have the tower do gold burgundy and blue.
That's right. It'll be Avs colors. You know that. All right, Johnny. Funny. Enjoy it out there, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, the sign-and-trade stuff, though,
that's what I was kind of getting to. It's just, you know, if he's going to, for example, Johnny Gaudreau, if he's going to go somewhere, he might probably want that eighth year and say, yes, work it out. But it's also a scenario where you're helping the team that you've just walked away from. You're an asset, and you might be getting something back. You're going to get pennies on the dollar.
So what you're saying is Calgary signs him to the 8-year term, and then they have a deal in place.
Or they trade him before the 13th. They trade him to whoever.
You're saying trade his rights away.
Trade his rights,
which wouldn't be a sign and trade, because the nature of a sign and trade is yes, you sign. The deal technically with Calgary,
right?
And then it gets flipped for pieces,
right?
Which is what Kyle Lowry did, right?
Like, I was more saying that you trade the player before, and then he can just re-up with the team,
right? Which does happen in the NHL. You're right. The idea of trading his negotiating rights.
We did that for Jay in Calgary. We did that with Jay Bouwmeester. I think Daryl Sutter traded for him. And then signed him to a deal. So
well,
he can do stuff like that.
Now, in order for that to happen, right, the team that's going to be acquiring them, because the only team that I can recall that made that mistake was Jimmy Vesey and the Sabres. Remember, what's his name? Tim Murray's like, yeah, we're going to give it a shot. Here's a third. And Vesey said, thanks, but no thanks. And ends up signing with the Rangers.
That's right.
Like, that's such an embarrassment for a team that's acquiring the rights. Like, you need to know that the guy is going to sign the deal. Right.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't the player kind of have an understanding of where he wants to go anyway and what's available? You know, like Gaudreau,
exactly.
I'm sure his agents basically laid it out. Like, this is about what you're looking at, you know?
Yeah.
7 years at 9.5, whatever it is. I don't know what that price is. But he's probably got a really good read on it. Every team's going to have to pay it if they want him. And whoever picks up the phone and says, we want you, then it's going to be contingent on that deal getting done with the numbers in place.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's a good point, too, the idea of just trading. But I want to see the big blockbuster trade, like sign and trades. Like, those are, again, the Lowry one was not a huge one, but Achua came up, you know, like, and Precious is a player. Like, it would also be a way to alleviate some cap issues, even if you like the player, you know. Like, use the Leafs as an example because we know it. They're not trading for Johnny Gaudreau. But let's say they looked at it and said, you know, Kerfoot, that's a deal we'd like to move on from, maybe, or we feel we have to. And Calgary sits there and goes, he's got 1 year at 3.5. We could use him. Yeah. Okay. Make it Kerfoot and a couple of picks, and then all of a sudden what you're doing is you're bringing in Goudreau at nine, but you're shaving off 3.5.
Right.
So you're opening the space that is needed for him, and a player who's actually a good player goes the other way with other picks, and all of a sudden Calgary's like, we were going to lose him for nothing. Now we've got a serviceable player and some picks.
And where I was kind of going was, and I know it's a business, and I understand that. You don't owe anything to, if you become an unrestricted free agent, it's your right. You don't owe anything, but there also is a layer of like, hey, you know, that's an organization I've spent my whole career with. You don't want to jam them up too, because the minute, if something happens with Johnny Goudreau and he moves on, like that organization has to pivot. Like they look differently immediately, right? So, you know, they're left to pick up the pieces too. So, you know, it's kind of a, I wouldn't say win-win, because Calgary would be losing somebody of Johnny Goudreau's ilk, but you would be helping out with a pick or something.
The whole fate of their organization and their team is based on what those two guys are going to do, Tkachuk and Goudreau. Like,
yeah.
That could be drastically. That'll turn things upside down.
It'll look different. And they'll have to spend that money. They'll have to spend that money somewhere else. But you know, Tkachuk's an RFA. That'll sign his.
He'll be back next year in some capacity, you would assume. But you're right though. Like that's 200 points worth of players right there on your top line, which was one of the best lines in Flames history this year.
They had 300 points last season. The three of them together. It's crazy.
Right, and I got to think in Winnipeg, they're just twisting in the wind right now. Not that they won't. They'll recalibrate. They'll figure it out. They'll hire a coach, of course. But they were all in on Trotz and praying the hometown guy's coming home. And for him to say no, that's got to really sting.
Do you think a Saskatchewan guy maybe gets the...
That would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to pay him a lot of money in order for...
What's Babcock's deals? What has he got left?
I don't know. Does he have a couple years left?
I thought he only had like 1 year left. He's been gone. Sheldon's been the coach, what?
3 years.
3 years, right?
And he was here.
Might have one more.
I thought he's got like 1 more year.
Probably 1 more. It was an 8-year deal. I think he was here for 4 years, and Sheldon's been here, I guess, more for like 2.5. Right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, possibly, for sure. Yeah. And I would think Trotz now sits back and maybe is a guy that pushes a team over the top, you know? Either next year or halfway through this upcoming season.
Yeah. Right?
If there's a team that's underachieving, you bring in Barry Trotz, push him over the top. Could be maybe what he's thinking of right now.